Well, at the other masses, Father Peter promised mercifully to have a short homily after the long gospel reading. My mercy takes on different forms than Father Peter's, I think, but such a beautiful message from the Lord Jesus, right? And I want to focus on really just one aspect of this, the aspect of contrition. Okay, the Son coming to his senses and saying, I have sinned against heaven and against you, Father. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Or what we heard from King David in the beautiful psalm today, Psalm 51, which is David's prayer of repentance after his sin with Bathsheba and having Bathsheba's husband murdered. He says, my sacrifice, my offering to you, God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. So contrition. St. Bonaventure said that no one can live a new life who does not repent of the old. So contrition is one of the aspects of repentance, which was the central message of John the Baptist, and in fact, the first and central message of Jesus, repentance. So what is contrition, this aspect of our repentance? Well, it was defined way back in the Council of Trent to have three aspects. Contrition is a sorrow of soul and a hatred of sin committed with a firm purpose of not sinning in the future. Okay? It's the proper attitude when we have discovered our sin to have true sorrow for it, a sorrow that cuts our hearts, to detest, to hate the sin, and to firmly resolve to not sin again. That's what contrition is. So it's not just an intellectual conclusion, well, that I did wrong. It's a real pain, a real bitterness that we taste and feel in our lives. And it combined with that hatred, that horror for the sin that we've committed. And that effect of that is so great that it causes us to come to our senses, to rise like the prodigal son, and return to our Father's house, resolving not to sin again. So St. Bonaventure said that that sorrow has to do with our will and the emotive aspect of our being, our feelings, right? Just as in sin, sin has to do with consenting to something that is evil, right? My will is involved every time I sin. Said this contrition, this true sorrow, is an act of the will. I dissent, I disconnect myself from that which I gave consent before. Does that make sense? So there's a stepping away, right? There is a disconnecting my will. What I had chosen, I now reject in the will. And also there's a consequent feeling that comes with that, right? That's the sorrow. That's the horror. I can't, I am deeply wounded by the fact that I have chosen this evil, okay? So this is contrition, this sorrow for our sins, this hatred of the sin that we've committed, this resolve to live a new life. Now, brothers and sisters, contrition is necessary for us if we want to receive the forgiveness of God. It's necessary for us. That's why, for example, in the Sacrament of Reconciliation, which, by the way, is available to you at this very moment, we're required to demonstrate our contrition, to make an act of contrition. And in fact, if we don't have that sorrow, we're not able to be absolved of our sins. Okay? Now, where does contrition come from? What's the motivation for it? Well, we make a distinction between perfect contrition and imperfect contrition. Perfect contrition, the best kind, comes from our love of God. We recognize that God is worthy of all of our love, and so realizing that we have offended him by our sins, we're filled with a deep sorrow. Okay? I'm imagining that when you're short with your children, there's more sorrow there than when you're short with your coworkers. Same action, but you have a deeper love for your children, and so the sorrow is deeper when we realize that God is worthy of all of our love. Then we are moved to that sorrow. And that's perfect contrition. It arises from the love of God as its motive. Now, there is imperfect contrition. I mean, sometimes we feel sorry for our sins because we're afraid we might lose heaven, or we're afraid of the pains of hell, or we might have contrition because we know that we've been found out by someone else, and we're sad that we are ashamed. We've come to shame, right? There's other motives for feeling sorrow for our sins, and those are okay. But the perfect contrition is motivated only by our love of God. Okay, so those are some ways of helping us understand what contrition is. But as Thomas A. Kempis wrote in the second most read book in the history of the world, Imitation of Christ, I would rather feel contrition than know its definition. Okay? One thing for us to know what it is, but what matters is that we feel it. That's why I believe the church gave us this example of St. Paul today, who definitely understood contrition. He was a smart man, of course, but he certainly was cut to the heart when he realized his sin. He calls himself, in fact, the foremost of sinners. The highest of all the sinners, right? The foremost. And he said that God permitted this so that I could be an example of how powerful his merciful love is. In me, he said, Jesus displayed all of his patience. Me, the foremost, the greatest of all the sinners. And so I was mercifully treated. So we can look to the lives of the saints and see what that true contrition looks like when we acknowledge how what we have done has hurt God, who is perfect and deserving of all of our love. But you might say, how can we just make ourselves feel sorrow? Are we in control of our emotions like that? If part of contrition is this true feeling of sorrow, how do we do it? You know, and sometimes we expend a lot of energy and time and resources trying to make ourselves feel a certain way. And we realize that's a waste. That's not how it is. So we can't make ourselves feel a certain way, but the reality is we can dispose ourselves to feel a certain way. So I'll give you a few examples. Hopefully that it'll make sense. If you came into Mass this morning thinking, this is going to be really boring, guess what? It's going to be boring, okay? You've disposed yourself to think, well, this is going to be kind of a wasted hour. And more likely than not, that's the way you're going to leave. But if before Mass, as you were driving, you began to think, well, what does God want to say today? Or you began to remind yourself of the many times that God has spoken to you in the Mass. If by your thought process you're preparing to encounter the living God, well, by God, you will, okay? We dispose ourselves. We can dispose ourselves to receive or to feel a certain way. We've all had this experience of judging someone before we really met them, and they're like, okay, well, I'm not really going to get along with this person. And how often we're wrong, or we discover too late, like, they really could have been a good friend, you know? We have disposed ourselves to think of them in a certain way by our prejudices, by our misunderstandings, whatever it might be, okay? Or another example might be when there's a little conflict at work, and we begin to worry about it, we begin to stew about it, we begin to turn it over in our minds over and over again, and then all of a sudden, our way of approaching it is gonna make it worse. We've predisposed ourselves to make this a big conflict when in fact it didn't need to be, right? So by our thought processes, we can dispose ourselves. By our attitudes, we can prepare our hearts to feel a certain way, okay? So to apply this to our topic today of contrition, right? We are much more likely to feel that sorrow of heart for our sins if we're often meditating on how good God is, how loving he is, how worthy he is of my devotion. Or when we stop making excuses for ourselves and realize that I am indeed called to holiness and I am indeed capable of holiness by God's grace. And if I often remember my dignity as a child of God, and if I often come to my senses making a good examination of my conscience about who I am and where, what I should be doing, how I should be living, then it's much more likely that I'll feel sorrow for my sins. On the other hand, if I never think of how good God is, if I never take time in meditation, if I'm always making excuses for my actions, and if I think of my life and my identity and my mission as independent from God, well, then I'm much less likely to feel sorrow for having offended him by my sins. We can't make ourselves feel a certain way, but we can dispose our heart to it. And finally, perhaps most importantly, contrition is a grace of God. It's a supernatural gift, not just a natural response to realizing that we have failed. And so we can and should ask our Lord for that sorrow of heart. Beg for that grace to really feel our sins, to have that horror for them, and to want with all of our hearts to change, right? To leave sin behind. Jesus, give us this gift of contrition of heart. When we've disposed our hearts and when we've asked for that gift, we will feel true contrition. Just as King David did, just as the prodigal son did. And you know what? Because of that, that we are also ready to receive the joy of God's mercy, his forgiveness, and to enter into the joy of the feast of God's love.